Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I think President Bush is fine.
Okay, this is the Phil Hendry Show. Just tell me your name again.
Yes, sir. My name is Dave Oliva.
Dave Oliva, and Dave, you're an aspiring police officer, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
Tell me what it is about the death of Bob Hope that touched you the most.
Well, first of all, Mr. Hendry, I want to say that I'm, you know, very sad to see Mr. Bob Hope has died. I am an aspiring police officer, and in my own way, I think that Bob Hope touched the lives of service people and also of police officers all over America. I think that it's entirely proper right now to respectfully ask the Hope family and the coroner of the county of the city of Toluca Lake to respectively take pictures of Mr. Hope so that people can see that he is indeed dead. And
now, that's what I thought was the most interesting thing of your call. You want pictures circulated of Bob Hope proving that he's dead.
Yes, sir, but I don't want it to be disrespectful. But the American people need to have closure, and also, and this is the most important point, if we expect that the Iraqi people need to see a picture of Uday and Qusay because they're not that smart to believe they're dead, I think we have to demand the same of the American people, too, and assume the American people are not as smart as maybe they think they are. And so I think President Bush, or at least some members of the White House, should direct the pictures of Bob Hope be released.
Now, you understand what you're asking, Dave, and first of all, this is beyond the purview of police.
No, it's not.
Why?
Well, first of all, this is called forensic evidence. That's something that I learned. In police work, you have to have evidence that the man is actually dead. And right now, if you think about it, I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, we don't have no proof that Bob Hope is dead.
Well, what would you say? All we have is the word of people?
Yeah, that's all we got, is the word that he's dead. Now, you may believe that he's dead, but I think that only proves that, you know, how gullible the American people can be. Because we, you know, the New York Times lied. Everybody believed the New York Times. President Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction. Everybody believed Bush. Donald Rumsfeld lied about the weapons of mass destruction. Everybody believed Rumsfeld. Okay? Nobody believed Uday and Qusay were dead till they circulated photos. I think the American people need to see a photo of Bob Hope. See, I don't want to say that we're stupid, but I can tell you, because I'm studying to be a police officer, in my criminal justice class, we read about how stupid a lot of people are. You know, when you pull them over.
Well, that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying the American people are so dumb that we need to see the proof? I mean, if we believe he's dead, why do we need to see the proof?
Because, first of all, he may not be dead. I mean, all I'm saying is,
do you really honestly believe the guy may not be dead? Do you?
No, I'm just saying, if you circulate pictures of Uday and Qusay, why don't you circulate a picture of Saddam Hussein? I mean, of Bob Hope. Why don't you do that?
Because the Iraqi people didn't believe those two guys were dead, so they needed to have it proven to them. The American people do believe that Bob Hope is dead, so why?
Some of the American people do. Some of the American people just take it for granted. I think you need to show them that they need to ask. I mean, we needed to see Elvis. We needed to see John Kennedy. We needed to see Bob Hope to have really, you know, if he died of pneumonia.
Well, I got to tell you something. None of this is making any sense to me right now. Why do you got to see Bob Hope and pictures of Bob Hope dead? Okay? You say that people in Iraq needed to see Bob Hope or needed to see Uday and Qusay. Well, that's because they're too stupid. The American people believe Bob Hope is dead. Do you understand?
I understand that. Yes, sir.
So why would we need to see a picture of Bob Hope dead if we needed to, if we already believe that the guy's dead? See what I'm saying?
I understand that, but there's something wrong, I think.
All right, hold on for just a minute. 1-800-449-8686. So what do you got this guy on the... he doesn't even know why he's asking the question. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. This guy believes that we need to see a picture of Bob Hope being... of Bob Hope dead. Do you want to see a picture of him on the corner slab?
No, sir. Just pictures of him like laying in the bed when he died. You know,
wait, do you think the American people think he's dead?
I don't think America really believes he's dead because we've been lied to so much.
I guarantee I'll get people calling up here all afternoon that believe he's dead.
I don't think that there's a lot of people who do, because we have been lied to, because Bush lied about uranium, because Rumsfeld...
Well, Bush lied about uranium in Iraq, and Rumsfeld lied about the weapons of mass destruction, or didn't, or did, or maybe he did, or whatever. What's that got to do with Bob Hope and the fact that he's dead, which I got no...
You believe he's dead?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they reported it on the news.
Because they reported it on the news. And that's why, Mr. Henry, I called your show. Because I'm studying, sir, to be a police officer, and we don't, you know, you have to understand, that's not good enough for me, and that shouldn't be good enough for you. Forensic evidence...
Wait, okay. So you're telling me that me, Phil Henry, I'm a dummy because I believe Bob Hope's dead.
I'm simply saying that you should demand to see some kind of proof, because we've been lied to and lied to and lied to all over the time. And also John Kennedy... They killed him, and they lied about it, and they said that Lee Oswald did it. Well, now we know that Lee Harvey was not the only guy that did it. See?
And you think that some conspiracy is surrounding Bob Hope's death?
No, I'm just saying you need to... No, I don't think no conspiracy. I'm saying we just should see the picture. See, you know, I'm not saying the guy's not dead. I'm saying why do you just take people's word for it?
Well, maybe it's not that important to me, man.
Look, if Bush suddenly died... Wouldn't you want to see pictures to prove he's dead?
Yeah, I would. You know why?
Why?
Because he's the president. Because I need to know that the change in leadership in our country is necessary. I don't need to see pictures of Bob Hope dead, whether he's dead or not. If he's dead, he's dead. If he's alive, he's alive. What do I need to have it proved for?
Well, I'll tell you something right now, Mr. Henry, and I say this as somebody who's studying to be a police officer. We look like laughing stocks if all of a sudden Bob Hope... He's not dead. That's all I'm...
Oh, yeah, right. That's going to happen, man.
No, I'm not saying that it will, but that's all I'm saying.
So you want pictures of Bob Hope circulated to prove to the American people something that they already believe?
I'm just...
You know, in other words, we already believe he's dead. Do you think he's dead?
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I mean, why would they lie about it? Why would they lie about it?
You know...
Yeah, listen to you, man. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You don't even know why you...
Look, Bob Hope entertained us for years. We need closure. That's all I'm saying.
I got closure, Ace. I got all the closure I need. He's dead, and I don't need anybody proving it to me. The American people don't need it proven to them. There's no reason in the world why we need to see a picture of Bob Hope to put his family through all of that pain just because you don't believe that he's...
No, I didn't say that.
Well, just because you think that we're too stupid. I don't even know what it was you were calling up to say, pal. You know... 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. We're talking to a young man who believes that Bob Hope, we got to see a picture of Bob Hope. Why? I don't know. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
David, understand, this is the Phil Henry Show. I'm talking to a young man. His name is Dave Olivier. He's an aspiring police officer. I understand your concern, and I don't mean to make it sound as if I minimize your interest in proving that Mr. Hope is actually dead.
I just think it's hypocritical, Mr. Henry, for us to ask for pictures of Uday and Kusay Hussein to be circulated to prove they're dead, but nobody circulates a picture of Bob Hope, see? And that, to me, is hypocrisy. That's what causes...
But there's a reason why Uday and Kusay...
Well, the other reason is one that I don't know that people will care about, but it's very important to comedians. And I don't know if you want me to give it or...
What reason?
Well, the fact that Bob... Okay, everybody agrees that Bob Hope was the funniest man ever. Okay? I mean, would you agree with that, Mr. Henry? Okay?
I would say Bob Hope was very funny.
Well, I mean, everybody knows he is the funniest. You have a bunch of comedians out there right now who have been afraid to express themselves and be as funny as they can be because they're afraid somebody would say, you know, Bob Hope would slice you up in a comedy festival. You know, he'd slice you apart. Now that he's dead, maybe they'll come out and want to do more comedy, be as funny as they can be.
So you're telling me that there are young comics out there?
Not necessarily young.
All right, there are comics out there who are not being as funny as they can be because they think Bob Hope is still alive and might slice them up, as you say, in a comedy competition.
Yes, sir. I mean,
well, which comics?
Well, I mean, look at all the comics that I like are kind of funny, but are not totally, like Wanda Sykes or George Lopez or Jeff Foxworthy or Sinbad or Richard Belzer. Or I mean, I could go on and on, man. Paul Reiser, Janine Garofalo. I mean, they're funny, but they're not as funny as they could be if they wasn't afraid of Bob Hope. And he may have hung on this long to deny a lot of young comics that chance.
All right, so we should circulate a picture of Bob Hope proving that he's dead. And you want a picture of him laying in his bed dead.
Yes, sir, I think that's the only way.
To show to comedians like Janine Garofalo and Drew Carey they have nothing to fear?
Yes, sir, I think that that's a part of it, but there's a lot more.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Should there be a picture of Bob Hope circulated to prove he's dead, as they did Uday and Kusei? Rita, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello, Mr. Henry. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
That guy, I think, is a little bit high on something, and if he's an example of what our future police force is going to be like, then God help us. He's crazy.
Well, ma'am, first of all, I am an aspiring police officer.
Well,
I do not use drugs. I do not use drugs, and I think that's... You know, I would demand an apology from you if I thought
you'd
get it.
Well, I'm not going to apologize because the way you're talking on the air to the people of this country, you sound like you're high or
ma'am,
you're drunk or you're something.
Why?
You don't have to show pictures of any of our comedians or actors or actresses that died. Their families wouldn't be crying, wouldn't show sorrowing, wouldn't have memorial service, and he was 100 years old, man. What do you think he's going to do?
First of all,
as far as those other comedians are concerned, Paul Reiser has nothing to worry about. He's made a mint of money, and so has some of the others. Drew Carey, my daddy, had two television shows. He makes enough money on that. He makes enough money on the circus.
That's a very
and
good point.
There's a lot of people that love him.
That's a very good point, Rita. What do you think? What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, man, I'm studying to be a police officer. I do believe in forensics. I do believe in proof. We don't have no proof. I mean, you're going to take somebody's word for the fact that he's dead? I mean, you call me stupid.
I would take the fact that he's dead for the simple reason, why would forensics, why would anybody want proof?
Because
what good would anybody want proof? That man was 100 years old.
Yes,
he
ma'am.
He died of pneumonia.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're just opening up. I'm sure that there are other people that are going to say the same thing. As far as these other comics, oh my God, some of these comics that have been going to circuits and everything, they've been making their money. They get their breaks, and Bob Hope gave enough breaks to enough comics. And if you listen to the TV, you could have heard Phyllis Diller talking about it. You could have heard Andy Williams talking about it. You could have heard a whole bunch of other people talking about it. Where have you been, man?
Ma'am, I'm trying to say that Bob Hope intimidated a lot of comics from being as funny as they could be.
Baloney, buster. How old are you?
I'm 21, ma'am.
Well, 21. For 21 years old, you have nothing to say about it.
Okay.
I have lived the whole to World War II, to the Korean War, and watched Bob Hope do everything he could for the soldiers, for this country.
That's exactly
He brought young comics over. You don't have a leg to stand on.
That's totally, I understand.
21 years old, you know nothing.
Ma'am, I understand. I agree.
Thank you for letting me take my...
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henry.
Thanks for dominating the conversation. God, how gutless, man.
What do you have to say?
Well, first of all, that's typical of a lot of people in that generation. You know, they think Bob Hope, you know, everything he squeezed out was cufflinks, you know? I mean, gold cufflinks. Okay, that's number one. Number two...
I didn't hear any of that. I heard the lady saying that there was no need to circulate a picture of Bob Hope to prove that he's dead. And these other comics, and she made a very good point, Drew Carey isn't intimidated by Bob Hope. The guy's got more money than God, Paul Reiser. Okay?
No, I'm just saying to be as funny as they can be. Drew Carey, I'm not denying he's rich. But he's not, like, that funny. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's funny enough, man. The cat's made a lot of bread.
Well, he may be funny enough, but, I mean, everybody knows that, like, Janine Garofalo and Drew Carey, it's more like, yeah, I guess they're funny because everybody says they are, but, you know, I mean, do you think they're funny?
Who?
Drew Carey and Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, they're funny.
Okay, but you think they're like funnier than Bob Hope?
I don't know, man.
See, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And this is a ridiculous conversation to have. Drew Carey don't need to worry about Bob Hope.
Well, I guarantee, man, if you don't think that Drew Carey's all that funny, it's because he's scared that Bob Hope will cut him up, just slice him up in a comedy competition. Now, many, many Americans will go on waiting for Mr. Hope to come out to play golf or be at the Friars Club because they're stupid. I mean, they're just stupid. Unless we see them, man's dead.
You know what, pal? If somebody is dumb enough to think that Bob Hope's going to come out and play golf because they haven't seen a picture of him laying in his bed, then I say I'd like to pull up a chair and watch that jackass in his house. I mean, I could care less whether that guy, goes to the Friars Club waiting to see Bob Hope. 1-800-449-8686. Lori, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Just wanted to talk to your caller and tell him that he is completely uneducated and probably has some kind of psychological fear himself of Bob Hope, because most comedians look up to Bob Hope, and that's probably what got them into the business.
I don't doubt that.
They do not fear him.
I don't doubt that. I'm just saying, you know, they're still intimidated by him, even if they respect him. And look at George Lopez, man. Like, he's not funny. And why do you think that is? He makes Mexicans look bad. And I'm Hispanic. Don't you think I'm disgraced by George Lopez not being funny?
So maybe you're turning this into a cultural thing. Because I got to tell you that 99.9% of people love and adore Bob Hope.
Well,
they're not. They do not fear him. They are not intimidated by him. They look up to him. He is a role model.
That's a good
point. And on the another hand, why would anybody want to say that they're dead when they can have all their accounts closed and all their debtors going after their things? It is totally illogical, and you're talking like an uneducated person.
No, ma'am, if you die, first of all, I take criminal justice. I know what I'm talking about, okay? If you die,
I'm 21 years old. You don't have that much experience in criminal justice.
Well, ma'am, if you die, okay, your will is made out, your family is taken care of, and certainly if you make it look like you die, you have an agreement with your family to say, okay, look, this is what it's going to say in the will, but here's an extra added agreement. So, you know, you'll be giving me money while I'm hiding out or whatever.
And what, are you telling me he's hiding out?
No, I'm just saying, unless you circulate pictures to prove he's dead, there's a lot of stupid people who will think he's alive.
Yeah, and I think one of them's on the phone right now.
No, I don't think he's alive.
How would you feel if one of your loved ones was put out? This goes back to the whole Dale Earnhardt thing.
Right,
people wanting pictures of him saying, well, he's not really dead. But you need to respect that family's privacy. Two, there are legal people that say, yes, he is dead, it's confirmed he's dead. And don't you think the insurance companies would go after him if he was hiding out, as you say?
Well, here's the thing,
ma'am. Totally illogical.
Well, first of all, people fake their death all the time to get out of marriage or other stuff like that. Maybe that's what Mr. Hope did to get away from his wife.
Yeah, people fake their stuff. You know, that's for people that are unknown and nobody knows them.
That's right.
Celebrities.
That's right. But a celebrity could fake his death better, and all the members of the Rat Pack that won't leave him alone if he wants to get away from Jerry Lewis or whatever. And
are you trying to tell me that Bob Hope faked his own death to get away from Jerry Lewis?
maybe Jerry Lewis is intimidated by him, too.
Okay, Mr. Henry, you can laugh if you
I'm
want to.
I'm off, Henry.
You know something? I think there's a decided anti-Hispanic.
This isn't anti-Hispanic. Sir?
Yes, it is. I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I mentioned George Lopez, who disgraces Hispanic people because he's not funny. Okay? Bob Hope dying will be a lot to Hispanic people because we'll get a comedian who's Hispanic who's funny.
So you want to prove to the Hispanic people that Bob Hope's dead so they can get a comic that's really funny instead of George Lopez?
Yes, sir. Part of the reason, yeah.
All right, our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is Bob Hope dead or should we circulate pictures of it? Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
It's an interesting conversation we're having right now with a young man by the name of Dave Oliva, who is an aspiring Los Angeles City police officer. He believes that pictures of Bob Hope Pictures of Bob Hope deceased should be circulated to prove that he is indeed dead. One of the reasons you've given, Dave, if I'm remembering correctly, is that many Hispanic comics have been intimidated by how funny Bob Hope is, and if they, you could prove that he's dead, then there'd be more funny Hispanic comics? I mean, am I making that point?
Well, I think that what I said was there are many comics that are intimidated. Some of them, yes, are Hispanic. And so I do have an interest in my own culture, all right? But more importantly, as an aspiring police officer, I do believe in forensic evidence. I do believe that, I don't take nobody's word for nothing, you know. That's what I'm learning in criminal justice, okay? And especially for the people out there who I'm sworn to protect once I do become an LAPD, okay? Someone says to me, is Bob Hope dead? I have to say, yeah, because I've seen the picture, you know. Now,
well, what about this thing that Hispanic comics, there's not enough good ones?
Well, if Bob Hope is indeed dead, it will give courage to young Hispanic comics to come out and be funny, because right now the ones we got are too intimidated by Bob Hope.
You mentioned that George Lopez ain't funny because Bob Hope's still around?
But yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr., that's another example. That guy's not funny. He's never been funny. Freddie Soto, not funny. Carlos, Alzraca, man, not funny. If they know that Bob Hope's dead, then, you know, maybe they'll get funny. I don't know.
Because they're afraid he'll cut them up in a comedy competition.
Yes, sir. I mean, I realize that what I say probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, but you have to look at it from the side of being a police officer.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Are Hispanic comics intimidated? You also said that Jerry Lewis...
I just think because Jerry Lewis right now, Mr. Henry, is having a lot of problems, especially perhaps financially, that Bob Hope has faked his own death so that Jerry Lewis won't hit him up for money. And I think that...
You think that's a real possibility?
I think that it's possible. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do.
All right, let me go over to a phone call. Elaine, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David Oliva. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
First-time caller, long-time listener. And I got to tell you, why are you wasting your time with this guy? He's obviously crazy, or he's on drugs, or something wrong with him. As a Hispanic,
okay,
I'm offended
by his
comments.
I have said before, I am an aspiring police officer. I'm not on drugs.
You're not yet a police officer, sir, and I will bet you anything that you won't be a police officer because you don't sound like you're mentally all there.
Okay, well, I don't take drugs, ma'am. I appreciate if you're not saying that I do something that I don't do.
Well, you sound, because you're so completely off the wall, that
we will
you sound
know the
like
truth.
You're hot.
We will know the
okay?
truth until we see the pictures. We will
well,
know
look, I'm a journalist. I believe in the truth as well. I believe in pursuing pictures, and I believe in documentation. So I understand forensic evidence. But I think that you're off your rocker. Find me some evidence that would prove that you even have a shred anything to go on.
First of all, ma'am.
And you sound crazy.
Ma'am.
With a Hispanic
wait a
conspiracy.
Well, hold on.
You know, frankly, George Lopez isn't funny because George Lopez isn't funny. Okay?
Yeah, have you thought
but
about that?
It has
that?
Nothing to do with, you know, with
Have you thought about George Lopez just sucks as a comic?
No, but what I'm saying is, and you don't listen to me, if Bob Hope is truly dead, young Hispanic comics, the really funny ones, will start coming out instead of this like Rhonda Sykes.
Precious
time. Hey, hold on for a minute. Okay, you ask me for proof. Prove to me he's dead. Go ahead. You ask for proof. Prove to me he's dead.
No, it doesn't work
yeah,
that
see,
way.
Yeah,
sir.
It does work that way, ma'am.
I don't have to prove that I'm innocent.
Okay.
You have
what?
To prove that he's not dead.
Ma'am, first of all, if you say you're dead, that means that the state of California has to go through a whole bunch of paperwork. Your will has to be probated. You have to prove you're dead, believe me. You have to have a death certificate.
Right.
Okay.
Well, he's got a death certificate.
I'm sure a medical examiner had to find that.
Well,
you know, it's all been taken care of, Johnny. Don't worry. I mean, don't worry. Go back to your medication.
You don't know that, okay? And if you want to believe that he's dead, fine. Then let's just keep living with George Lopez. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I happen to disagree with you.
Well, ma'am,
you cannot blame, you know, George Lopez's unfunniness on the fact that, you know, he's Hispanic. What about George Rodriguez? He's very funny, in fact.
That
Jason Blair is a liar because he's black.
What do you mean? What do you
can't
mean,
say those.
What do you mean, George Rodriguez? You mean Paul Rodriguez?
Paul Rodriguez. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Paul
he
Rodriguez.
Used to be funny. You ain't funny no more.
Dave, that's all, you know, and, that's
and look
all
at, this is what I'm talking about.
There, okay?
This is what I'm, like Carrot Top, okay?
One
he
thing
sucks,
has nothing
you know?
To do with the other.
What, do you mean Carrot Top ain't
today's
Hispanic?
Today's sensibilities are much different than yesterday. Phil,
yes.
let me ask
I
you
would,
Phil.
I would agree
why
with
are
that.
You giving this guy
all right,
so
I gotta, I'll take a break. 1-800-449-8686.
What, was that like a friend of yours? You set her up to call in or something?
No, I did not. I don't do that.
Well, she sounds all, yeah, hey, Phil, you know... I mean, God, man.
What do you mean, Carrot Top?
He's not funny.
He ain't Hispanic. Oh, so in other words, as long as Bob Hope's alive, no truly funny cats were ever going to come out of the woodwork.
That's right.
What about Sam Kinison? What about Lenny Bruce? What about,
That's about it.
Yeah, you got it. Here is Sandra. Go ahead, Sandra.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I think the young man has really got a problem with understanding what's supposed to be understanding. The Hope family does have proof that Mr. Hope is dead. They do have a death certificate. They do have all the necessary... Listen, this is my dime, if you don't mind.
No, I know. I'm just getting my hair cut.
Let me say what I got to say.
Go ahead.
Say all you want to say.
Go ahead. I just get my hair cut. That's all.
Mr. Hope is too much of a gentleman to cut anybody to pieces. He would never, ever intimidate anybody that was wanting to be successful in that. He would even encourage them and help them to further their career. Being a comedian.
Exactly, I agree
and,
with you, Rusty.
And this and listen, guy, you're having problems with being Hispanic. That's your problem. And your Hispanic friends, if they want to be funny, they've got to work at it. They've got to put the time and effort into it that Bob Hope did. And Red Skeleton is a funny...
I don't want to look Hispanic.
If Red Skeleton is a funny comedian, and Jerry Lewis is funny, he is still funny. And all these other people, I don't know how funny they are. Everybody has got their different level of funny. Everybody can't be a Bob Hope. He had his own style. Red Skeleton has his own style. Yep. Bubblicious has his own style. Everybody has their own style.
Bubblicious?
So don't knock off Bob Hope. I don't need to know that he's alive or dead. I don't need to see a picture of
Could
him.
Could I say something?
If he's
please?
Dead, he's dead.
Could I
if
say something?
If he's alive, he's alive. I don't need proof, and nobody else does either. Thank you. That's
Could
all I got
to
say.
Could I say something to the lady?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, Bob Hope. See, here's the whole thing. Like, what are you, Mrs. Columbo or something? Like, all this police information and stuff she's getting? What, did she hang up?
You there, ma'am?
No, I didn't hang up.
Okay.
But I'm not ignorant either.
Well, what are you, Mrs. Columbo?
I am just a regular person who, an American, born American.
Okay.
And I am not intimidated by you.
All right, then that's fine, ma'am.
I am not
I just,
ignorant either.
I
am not
say,
an ignorant American.
I just need to
I
say
know
something.
What the facts are
I'm having
die.
A hard time listening.
I have family members die. And I know what
you
they
know?
Do when you die.
Well,
I have proof that
how do you
my
know
brother
they're
just died.
How do you know
well,
they're
don't
dead?
Don't tell me you've got to have proof.
How do you
my
know?
Hope has died. His family has the proof.
How do you know your family
you
member's
die.
Dead? How do you know your family member is dead? See, you don't know. And I can't hear the lady because I got highlight foils that are next to my ears.
What do you mean you got highlight foils next to your ears?
I'm getting my hair shoe shine. Okay, first of all, this lady comes on and she says she don't need no proof. That's because she's not a cop. I'm going to be a police officer. And you need... Plus,
it's not going to matter. Hey, it's not going to matter one way or the other. A
plus cop more on my eyebrows, Susie.
Somebody.
Plus more.
Was the man a criminal?
God,
is
I look
he
like,
out there
I look
hurting
like
somebody? No, he's not hurting anybody.
Okay.
So you don't have to have proof he's
do
dead.
Do you think George
you
Lopez is funny?
You just have to take somebody's word for it.
Ma'am, do you think George Lopez is funny?
No, I don't.
Okay, proof there. I just proofed it.
I don't even know who George Lopez is.
Do you think Sinbad's
I mean,
funny?
I told you who I thought was funny.
Who?
Red Skeleton.
Red Skeleton?
Jerry Lewis.
Red Skeleton has been dead. Who's Bubblicious,
man? Who cares?
Man?
They were funny to me.
Who's Bubblicious?
It doesn't matter.
Look, first of all, Red Skeleton has been dead for thousands of years. Secondly, Jerry Lewis may hit Bob Hope up for a loan. I'd fake my death. And thirdly, Bubblicious? That dude's never been funny. That's a bubblegum, man. That ain't even no guy. Hello? Hello?
Well, she hung up.
Yeah, if I was her, I'd hang up too. Red Skeleton. Yeah, he was funny when he did the drunk.
By the way, it's Red Skelton, not Red Skeleton.
No, I think you need to double-check that.
I don't have to double... What, do I need proof now? You want me to go down to the...
If you can get some pictures of Red Skeleton Skeleton, that'd be good.
All right. What are you, getting your hair cut? What?
Yeah, I'm getting my hair cut. Why?
I don't... It sounds like somebody's chewing gum or something.
No, no, she's just plucking my eyebrows. I look too much like Juan Valdez. I want to be a police officer, okay? I don't look like I'm, you know, mowing somebody's lawn, okay?
Way to go, man. There's Dave. He's an aspiring LAPD. And Bob Hope, God rest his soul, but we need proof that he's dead. Otherwise, George Lopez won't know that it's okay to be funnier. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, the voice of Dave Oliver was actually performed by me. Those were unpaid and unprompted callers. Bob Hope, you know, is he still alive? Of course he isn't. The man has passed on, and we know to heaven where he belongs. But maybe he's faked his own death in order that Jerry Lewis doesn't hit him up for a loan. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Our souvenir shop is open. And in order to get to the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop, you've got to go to our website. And so here's the address, www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. So just consider this show to be like a football game. And when you come in to watch the game, you stop off at the concession or the souvenir stand and you get yourself a little souvenir. And you can get all kinds of great things, but we've got some new stuff that I want to tell you about. First and foremost, the brand new Ted's of Beverly Hills apron. Now, this is a full-length classic navy with a stone trim apron. It's 100% cotton. It's got a Teflon finish for protection, so if you get barbecue sauce and garbage all over it. There's two waist-level pockets. The right pouch includes a pen pocket. So if you're a serious barbecuer and you want to make notes, okay, I just put a half a shot of tequila on that chicken, and you just make a couple of notes, you know. And, of course, it doesn't mean anything because it's all going to come out burnt and burnt to a crisp and tasting like garbage. But as long as you're wearing your Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue apron, man, this thing is a beautiful thing. And, you know, nowadays, you got to have an apron. So get that, guys. Also, the Phil Henry Show shot glass is available. It's all there at www.philhenryshow.com. On to a flashback. Jay Santos, the head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, is on to talk about Lance Armstrong. Very proud of Lance Armstrong's win, but... these cancer survivors are always trying to think they're better than the rest of us. And a caller said, hey, pal, you to say things like that, you might not even be a human being.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, I just have a couple comments. First of all, I have a question for the individual that you're interviewing. Has he ever been through anything hard in his life? Cancer, maybe a handicapped child, anything. Anything in his life.
No, I take care of myself, man.
You know what? That makes no difference. Cancer can hit.
Well, I thought you asked me a question. I just gave you an answer. You know, no, I take care of myself.
My comment is.
I drink water. I do push-ups. Everything.
That frankly doesn't care. I don't know how much you guys paid this guy off to get on here to get everybody worked up.
Who put this guy on the air?
This guy has no compassion. He's not even a human being in my mind.
Well, man, I can assure you we don't pay guests to come on the program. We book them ahead of time.
Well, all I can tell you is this guy is unbelievable. I have never in my life heard a man that was more uncompassionate than him.
Ma'am, I am compassionate in that I try to do a volunteer service for the members of our neighborhood in helping the police who are overgunned and are outgunned here in the Los Angeles area.
You can have cancer tomorrow. I don't care how many push-ups you do, and how much water you drink. I drink rainwater. You can have cancer tomorrow.
Well, ma'am,
let me tell you, when I was 21, I never drank a drop of alcohol in my entire life.
Can I say something?
I never smoked any kind of dope.
This is
I never
perfect.
Did one thing, and I have two kids. That I have a disability.
Ma'am, I'm going to tell you something. This is what I'm talking about. I don't even know where you come from. Hold on.
You're
not a human being in my mind. Ma'am, can I say something here? See, you, as a woman, you hope that a man gets cancer because the women get breast cancer and you're all pissed off about it.
You know what?
What?
No, that is not true.
That's exactly
true. That is not true at all.
You're upset.
I had a child that had cancer. Okay?
The what?
You have not a compassionate bone in your body.
Ma'am, I get
That's
up every
I
day.
I
drive a freeway and make sure my family's fed.
You know what?
I go down here to the bottle company.
First of all, are you married?
What's that?
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do. I've got a son, Lance. And
you know what?
I've got
Heaven forbid that your son or your daughter ever gets cancer. That's all I got to say.
Ma'am, we do. My kids are in the football program.
I hope, with all my heart, that you do get cancer
ma'am,
one day.
Ma'am,
just
well,
so you can understand what it's like.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I ever do get cancer,
kind of a medical
I'm
problem
not
going to
walk
whatsoever.
Around thinking I'm such a big thing if I do get cancer. And I can tell you something else. My children are not going to get cancer because they're in the youth football program.
You know,
and
that has nothing to do with anything. Have you ever had your genes tested? You don't know what kind of...
My kids are in the youth football program. We also eat whole wheat bread. We don't eat the white stuff.
Guess what, mister? Guess what? My kids ate all those things, too. And guess what I just found out? They have what's called celiac disease, where they're allergic to wheat after all these years.
Well,
okay?
I don't buy that.
You have no idea what
it's going
to hit you tomorrow.
Ma'am,
you don't buy that stuff?
I don't buy that allergic to wheat stuff, ma'am. I think what you need to do is just get them down to an old-fashioned country doctor.
Nuts.
Get him down to an old fashioned.
I have never in my life met a man that is more crazy than
Mr.
you.
Mr. Gassando, this is Phil Henry. I want to ask you something. You may fancy yourself a police officer or a volunteer policeman. You're not a doctor. If this woman's doctor diagnosed these children this way.
Mr. Henry, I don't buy this whole new age. Yeah, my kids are allergic to wheat. Jesus.
My kid is My kid has lost 40 pounds in the last month.
You get your kid into a youth football program.
We came up with the fact that he had celiac disease.
Ma'am, if you get your
body could not absorb
how much football
the nutrients in the food.
How much football does your son play?
You know what? My son plays football every single year.
All right,
he
good.
Is on the All-Star baseball team. You want me to go on?
He doesn't sound that sick to me.
You want me? This is not the son. This is a different son.
No, the son that's got the wheat disease. How much football does he play?
You know what? He has Down syndrome.
Okay, see? So you don't even get him out in the fresh air.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, that's one of the great idiots of all time, Jay Santos. My son has Down syndrome. Yeah, you don't get him out in the fresh air. Good God. 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover is a night manager at Culver Print. He's also a former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, and he's going to have some very exciting and interesting views on the entire Kobe Bryant situation, which ain't going to go away. It continues to be the number one news story across America, and we're all over it. We're crawling all over it like white on rice on this show. We'll be into our mailbag as well, the R.C. Collins email to win a brand new CD from the Phil Henry Show. We'll go down memory lane with a Dean Wheeler memory. We have our sports file, more criminals in the National Football League. And will the Tampa Bay Buccaneers be moving to L.A., or is that just a frightening, scary, disgusting nightmare? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, so the news today is interesting about Kobe Bryant. We have Larry Grover on the line, former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County. This is rumor, by the way, isn't it, Larry?
My understanding, yes, it is, Phil.
The rumor is that perhaps what happened, and oftentimes it's not the either extreme, it's in the middle, what happened might have been that there was consensual sex to a point, or at least the idea of sex was consented to a point, and then there was another suggestion made about another kind of sex, and that's when, allegedly or possibly, or as the rumor goes, it was then, the negatory was put on that, and perhaps the issue was forced. Now, Larry, I understand, as the former conservative, chairman of Conservatives of Kern County.
I'm not a former conservative either, Phil. I'm very proudly still, of course, a conservative and a very proud Republican.
No, I appreciate that. But tell me what you think happened and your take on the Kobe Bryant situation with this new news.
Well, I think what happened to Kobe Bryant, Phil, I think happens to a lot of men. You invite a woman to dinner. You take her for a drink. You spend a significant amount of money on her. And in my case, you treat the woman with great deference and respect. As you know, probably 2 months now, when I was talking about Wanda, the young lady that I know from the print shop.
Yeah, and I know you have a similar experience.
Well, just to give you the background, you don't attempt anything impure. That would be embarrassing in the eyes of God, and I never have ever attempted any impure act with a woman. And while you and the young woman are engaged in the formal act of coupling, and she then says, please stop, and you're not doing anything impure, and you're not doing anything that would be less than clean, let's say, I think it's wrong, and I think she knows it's wrong, and I like to think a man has the right to continue to finish the act in a pure way and in a respectful and way that is very clean.
All right, so this is what we're talking about. You say that a woman doesn't have the right in the middle of the act of sex to say stop or no or I'm scared. So even if she said stop...
Well, because at that point you have to understand something. Let's be very, very clear. You have purchased dinner. You have purchased cocktails. You have been very gentlemanly. You have been extremely fastidious in your approach. And then you're invited into the company of the young lady, into her bedchamber. And then all of a sudden you're not allowed to complete what was started.
Let me ask you, in your case, why did the young lady ask you to stop? What was she afraid of? Because we're talking here about a man and woman who are beginning to make love, and then the woman is for whatever reason, says stop. What was she afraid of?
Well, I didn't say she was afraid of anything.
All right, I'm sorry.
I didn't say she was afraid of anything. I said that she suddenly said, for no reason, and I think it has a lot to do with a lot of women get their kicks reveling in frustrating men.
What happened?
Well, this is the part that's disappointing, and I think that Kobe Bryant can relate to this. Many women, no matter how pure your sexual treatment of them, no matter how respectful and purified it is, they love to watch your agony and revel in it. I think it's very unfair.
You didn't do anything.
I had told her before we began that when we finished the act, I wanted to pull the sheets off the bed and disinfect them, and I had brought a bottle of liquid borax into the room. Now, this was all understood. She knew this.
All right, hold on for a minute. Because I got to tell you something.
Mr. Henry, I've been married and I've had 4 children, so please don't presume to tell me about...
And I would not presume to tell you how to act with women, but you brought a bottle of liquid borax.
I told her first that before we began the act, but I want to tell you something else. This is difficult for me to say on the air. Yes, I brought some borax into the room because I wanted to bleach the sheets immediately. Because I don't believe in having any bodily liquids or anything. I want to purify that area. But let me tell you something else. For 8 months before I went out with Wanda, I was semi-functional. And the fact that she made me, functional, I think is a great compliment to her. So, yes, I had the liquid borax, but that was not an affront to her. I just wanted to immediately steam the sheets clean and disinfect them. And she may have misgivings about me using borax on the sheets, but where does that give her the right to not allow me to complete the coupling?
Look, I got to tell you something, Larry. Having a bottle of borax is not a romantic or even a sexy thing. And whether she... So you were dysfunctional for 8 months before you met...
That is correct. And when I met her, I was... It was good. And so that I told her that I haven't been able to perform in 8 months, so thank you. And I told her that. I told her, in fact, while we were having dinner, I said, I've got a very good feeling that I'm going to be able to perform sexually with you tonight. So I was complimenting her in any way that I knew how. And I was really upfront with this gal. She knew what she was getting into.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This is the phone number to the Phil Hendry Show. As we talk to one man's experience out on a date with a young lady who, in the middle of their lovemaking, suddenly said, stop, don't go any further, I don't want to do this anymore, which some people are now reporting. There is, again, this is a rumor mill, but some people are rumoring that that's really what happened that night in the hotel room at Kobe Bryant's. Perhaps it wasn't a brutal rape, and perhaps it was something that didn't take place at all. Maybe it was something in the middle that she asked him to stop and he wouldn't. Now, some women may get afraid, and some women may become put off. This gal with Kobe Bryant might have objected to a kind of sex. I think, in your case with this woman, well, you think it's because she just wanted to see you suffer.
I really think that there are women who are just what they call teases, and what that means, and I won't use the extended vulgar reference, what that means is they love to see a man get frustrated. And again, it's terrible to do to a man, I think, who had not been performing sexually for 8 months before that. Now, finally, I'm able to be functional. And as I'm beginning to enjoy the act in a pure way, she says, stop.
And this, you had told her that you were going to be purifying the sheets with borax. And
well, this is simply a hygienic thing, Mr. Henry. It has nothing whatsoever to do with her. It wasn't anything personal. I do it regularly, once a week myself. I don't like to have any kind of filth on the sheets. There really should be some sort of protection for men to combat this kind of behavior by women. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. So you say you told her up front that you respected her.
Yes, and please don't take this personally, I said to her, but I don't want any of her fluids, the filth of it, on the sheets. And I was completely up front. What we want and what we're asking for is something written into state law that once a woman has allowed a man to spend a significant amount of money on her, and he has confided that he is semi-functional because of her charms, that she is then expected certainly to give physical pleasure in a pure way. But certainly you can't stop it. That's all I'm asking.
You want this written into the law?
Yes. Right now the law is vague. So that a woman can say, well, no, I've changed my mind. I don't want to have sex with you. I think that is cruel. I think that it is ignorant. I think it bespeaks of a lack of education. I think any woman who would tell a man in the middle of the sex act, you know what, I've changed my mind, I'm scared, is quite frankly manipulating the situation. And this is after the man has spent a significant amount of money. And we're talking about a valet, coat check, the waiter, and certainly cocktails. And so I think that he be allowed to complete the act of sex in a pure and magnified way can certainly benefit both parties. And it's none of her business if I've got a bottle of borax next to the bed waiting to soak the sheets in it. That happens to be my predilection. It's something that I feel very strongly about. I don't like disease. Thank you very much. And I told this gal about the borax. She had no reason to stop the sexual process because I had told her that I wanted to cleanse the sheets.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So should it be written into state law that once a woman begins the act of sex, that she has to keep going, otherwise she's being unfair, and otherwise she has no right to say that the man raped her if she suddenly decides she doesn't want to have sex anymore. Now, Mr. Grover believes that after a man has spent a significant amount of money, a significant amount of time, and that the woman has invited him into her bedroom, that she then should allow him to complete, as he say, the act. Now, this gal that was with him said she wanted to stop having sex with him. I think it's because he brought a bottle of borax into the room to bleach the sheets. The gal that Kobe Bryant was with, we can only speculate, but as I said, I've heard that perhaps she objected to a kind of sex that he wanted to have, that she was ready to have sex with him, but not necessarily. But again, this is speculation. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 888-449-8686.
And I'm talking with Larry Grover, former chairman of Citizens Conservatives of Kern County. You're a conservative Republican, right?
Yes, I am, Phil.
But the Kern County Conservatives don't exist anymore?
Well, they still do business in the Bakersfield area. I just got working with them any longer as the result of my marriage, my wife leaving me. But I'm still very, very committed.
All right, we're talking about the Kobe Bryant case with Larry. And really, when does a woman have the right to say no? And I don't want to have sex with you anymore once she's actually started the process.
Well, that is correct. And the bigger picture, though, Phil, also is her demanding that you wear a condom. I think it is so presumptuous of women to say, do you have any condoms? Well, no, I don't. Well, then I'm not going to have sex with you. I think she should have said to Mr. Bryant up front before they even got into his hotel room, do you have any condoms? At which point he could have gone down to a drugstore or down to a grocery store and purchased some. But this is the same situation with me. So naturally you have to do something that you don't like to do, but that's, force the girl to have sex with you anyway.
But that's rape, isn't it?
No, sir, it is not.
Yes, it is. If you force her to have sex with you...
But she didn't say that she wanted me to wear a condom. If she would have said so during dinner, if the same woman would have said so to Kobe... You see what I'm saying? So that's the part where I think a lot of women need to get wired in and get wired in pretty good. If you want a guy to wear a condom, let him know before you start talking about having sex. Otherwise, I don't think it's fair to the man, and I think he has every right to continue.
Let's talk about this. There is a rumor, and it's just a rumor, that Mr. Bryant wanted to have another kind of sex with her. In other words... another part of her body, shall we say?
I understand.
And she objected to that. Even if he wasn't wearing a condom, she still objected to that.
Well, but again, she should have let him know that...
Well, what woman is okay with having sex without a condom?
There are many women who are, trust the cleanliness of a man, and themselves are very clean. So I think that I don't see that as being a problem at all.
You don't see what as being a problem, that the woman is having sex with a guy without a condom?
I don't see that the man is...
That the man's demanding it?
That is right. And I think she should have told Mr. Bryant she wasn't into having him make love to her in different ways. So it's clearly on her, and my own experience dictates this. I'll give you an example. Any woman on the pill is all right with a man not wearing a condom, obviously. So why should I assume that she wants me to bring one to the lovemaking? By the same token...
Wait a second, man. Any woman want to... We're talking about disease, okay? We're talking about the possibility of other things besides pregnancy. You understand that, right?
First of all, I am a man who I live at home. I have been, as I said, semi-functional for the last 8 months, so I have not had sex with a woman in 8 months. I don't think there should be any assumption made there. Number two, I have had a vasectomy, and I find it an insult to be asked to wear a condom. So this is where women, I think, get way overboard, this whole condom business. Condom this and condom that, and let's just stop off and get some condoms. I get a physical every year. I'm all right. I'm healthy. And for her to assume that I'm some kind of a carrier of disease and fever, some kind of a typhoid Mary, if you will, is an insult to me and to generations of pure and fastidious people on the male side of my family. And again, the borax in the room.
Okay, all right, hold on for a minute, man. I mean, you're giving me an earful here. So you don't have AIDS, and you shouldn't have to wear a condom, and...
Well, why would I bring borax into the room to steam the sheets clean with? This is why so many women are single, always demanding that a guy wear a condom. I think the time has come to stop that stupidity.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I think that if you are not wearing a condom, you think that this is the crux of the problem with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, she says to him, where's your condom? He says, hey, baby, you should have said something to me before. And that's what a lot of women don't do that.
Well, I don't see how a woman's going to bring it up at dinner. I don't see how she's going to say, well, you know what, by the way, if we do wind up having sex, would you mind, do you have any condoms?
I think she should bring it up at dinner. I think she definitely should bring it up at dinner. So what am I supposed to do?
Why don't you go get the condoms in case she wants them?
That's not my problem. I don't like wearing them. No man does. I think it's up to the woman to have them handy. I think it's up to her to suggest they stop off at a grocery store or a liquor store to get some. If she feels like she really likes you and wants to have sex with you, then I think she should say, go ahead and pull over to this liquor store and go in there and get some rubbers because I think I like you. Or
well, that sounds ridiculous.
Or something like that is what I'm saying. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put it in a stupid way. But if a woman doesn't want to get pregnant, the best way to not get pregnant is to be on the pill. Take it regularly. It is a marvelous thing. It changes the hormones in your body so you don't have to worry about a guy putting a rubber on.
And for the purposes of my show, could we call it a condom?
I'm sorry?
For the purposes of this show, could we call it a condom?
I'm sorry, Mr. I'm just saying that if you like a guy, then while you're driving back to your apartment, you can say, why don't you pull over here at this fruit stand or whatever they got, you know, an all-night liquor store and go get a box of rubbers.
Condom.
I'm sorry.
All right.
The perfect time to bring up the condom issue is over a dessert, and I think, a cheesecake topped with strawberries or something, because it's very sexual.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Stacy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Larry, you're a complete moron if you expect a woman to have dinner with you.
Hold on for a minute.
Drinks, and then just assume that she's not, that she is supposed to
why
have
sex with
you.
Why doesn't she bring it
and
up?
First of all, any smart woman in their right mind would make you wear a condom.
Why doesn't she bring
way,
it up at dinner?
That is not why women are single. You haven't had sex for 8 months because you're a moron.
Excuse me, why doesn't she bring it up?
Why would she bring it up during dinner? Dinner does not...
Because if you want to have sex with a man, don't you think it's fair to him to say, I think I'm attracted to you and I'd like you to go get a box of rubbers before we go any further?
You know what? Most women, most intelligent women of this new age we live in, would expect a man to carry a rubber. Yes, dinner
well,
does
you know
not
what?
Equal sex.
That's intelligent? That's not intelligent at all to expect a man to carry something that he hates with every breath, that he hates with every core of his being.
Then I suggest that you, Larry, and men like you, use something that you're given, your hand, and not a woman.
Well, you know what, Stacey?
Intelligent women do not...
Well, it certainly won't be with you anytime soon, that's for sure.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Larry Grover about the possibility that the Kobe Bryant story has to do with a woman saying, stop, I don't want to do that. Or put on a condom and he didn't have any. Guys hate them. Guys despise them. Men don't like wearing them. And women demand that they be worn. And Mr. Grover says it's the woman's responsibility to make sure that those condoms are available. Otherwise, she has no right to tell a man that he can't have sex with her if he doesn't have one. I mean, it's very complicated, but... You know, I barely know what I'm saying. Are you all right with this, Larry?
I understand perfectly what I'm saying, and I'm sorry that you, like other men, don't understand.
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com, phs@philhendryshow.com. Send us an email. We'd be happy to read it. Maybe not on the air, but we'd be happy to read it. I don't read all of them. Janice reads them. Chris reads them. Sometimes nobody reads them, but occasionally one or two actually makes it to the way to the air. Now, we have from yesterday, David Hall called the show very early on. Wanted to know why I wasn't doing a Bob Hope tribute. Here's how it started.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm sorry, hold on. What? So that's what's in the background. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I called in and I asked Chris when you're going to do the Bob Hope tribute. And he told me...
Well, wait a minute. First of all, Janice produces the show. Chris wasn't in prep with me.
No, but he answered the phone. Please understand, Phil, I don't like interrupting your program right now, but I was waiting for the Bob Hope tribute, and you start in with the California recall, and you realize that you broadcast to other cities besides Los Angeles. So what seems to be the...
Hold on for a minute. You had promised me you weren't going to call and interrupt my show.
No, I know I promised you, and you promised me that you were going to do what I asked you to do. didn't you?
David.
Didn't you promise me you'd do what I asked you to do and that I wouldn't call your show?
What did you ask me to do?
You know, you know full well I asked you to do a Bob Hope tribute, and I had...
No, you asked me, was I going to do anything about Bob Hope today?
Yes. I asked you, are you going to do a tribute, and you said to me, yes.
No, I did not say I was going to do a tribute. I think I said I would simply mention it.
Well, what? No, you didn't. You said you... I'm not going to argue about this on the air right now. I don't want to embarrass you, and more importantly, I don't want to embarrass me. But I think you're embarrassing yourself.
You think I'm embarrassing myself?
Yes, I do. Bob Hope died, and you're on about the California recall, which is in a state where most of your listeners don't even live in. Now, Phil, I want a Bob Hope tribute. He was 100 years old. He died. And I don't see where you get off ignoring it.
I didn't say that I was going to ignore it. I was going to mention it. I wasn't going to do any big, long tribute.
No, you don't want to do a tribute, but let's remember what you did do. What you did do was you did a show about 4 months ago that almost made me want to vomit. I almost wanted to vomit when I heard what you did.
What did I do?
You know what you did. You had that broad Margaret on saying that the best thing for Bob Hope would be for him to be euthanized by hitting him on the head with one of his Emmys. Do you remember that?
I didn't say that, did I?
No, you didn't. You got that broad get on and say it.
I did not say that. I had no idea she was going to say...
No, you didn't know anything. And then you come on and you say, well, you know, it'd be a really good thing for Bob Hope is to have him walk through a garden and have a guy take him out with a 30-06. Didn't you?
I did not.
But you had a guy come on and say that.
I had a guy come on...
You had a guy come on and say that. But when I asked you to do a Bob Hope tribute to a great man who's died, you ain't doing it.
I'm not going to do a tribute. I'm going to mention it.
Well, what were you going to do?
I'm going to mention that... Bob Hope passed on, that he was 100 years old, that he's got a greater entertainer than I'll ever be.
Boy, that's for sure.
So what is this? Come on in and...
No, Phil, you know what this is? This is you thinking you're better than everybody else.
No, it isn't. It's me not making a big deal out of a situation because I don't think I should make a big deal out of it. Bob Hope died. He was a great man. Bigger entertainer than I'll ever be. He was 100 years old. Lived longer than I'll ever live. That's for damn sure. And that's it.
And you want to ignore it. Why? You don't want to do a tribute. Why?
Because I personally don't have a whole lot to say about the guy. Are you forcing me to insult him? Is that what you want to do? Because if you want me to insult him...
I didn't ask you to insult... In other words, you were going to come on and insult him? What the hell?
No, I was not. I just don't want to be pushed into saying something about the guy. Bob Hope died, great guy. What do you want to do? We want to talk about what a great... I'm not going to do any of that. Everybody else is doing that. I ain't going to have to say, Bob Hope's gone, now let's do a show.
Bob Hope's gone, okay, yeah.
Oh, you're real grown up.
No, I'm grown up. Look at you. Well, I think I'll just go do a show now, even though Bob Hope, 100 years old, 58 million movies, 9 million things he did for people, I'm Phil Henry.
It's not even my life. It's not my generation. It's a whole different kind of entertainment. I mean, what do you want me to do? You want to come on and do a Pinky Lee tribute, too, while we're on the subject?
Pinky Lee? Pinky Lee? I'm talking about Bob Hope, you idiot. Not Pinky Lee. If I wanted you to do a Pinky Lee, then you could take me out and have me shot. Bob Hope, you remember who he was, don't you? He was a big-time guy. And now you want to sit there and you want to ignore it.
I'm not ignoring it. I'm not...
Well, what were you going to do?
I was going to say, hey, Bob Hope died.
Oh, well, Jesus, the tears are just springing in my eyes, man. Hey, Bob Hope died. That's great.
Well, David, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going
to
do it.
I want you to do a Bob Hope tribute... talking about what a great man he is, and I want the tears to come squirting out of people's eyes right now!
No.
What about tomorrow?
Maybe.
All right.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold!
So instead of it, we just played that back, okay? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. and so that's the latest. You heard it, right? Did you hear this one? That apparently... And I don't know how these rumors get started. Who all of a sudden said this happened? Was it somebody upstairs down? I don't know. What I try to do is I try to separate the wheat from the chaff. I try to separate the bull crap from what possibly could be a pure form of crap and say, maybe this happened. See, did he rape her? Or maybe no rape happened at all? Or was there something maybe halfway? Such as... She consented to go into the room. She asked him to wear a condom. He didn't have any. He said, that's okay. We can have sex another way where you don't have to worry about the condom. She said, no, I don't want to do that. He got angry and did it anyway and then threw her out of the room. Now you say, well, any man knows that that's rape. But in the mind of a man who believes the woman came there voluntarily, as I'm sure Kobe believes she did, and perhaps she did, maybe in his mind that wasn't rape. She went into my room. She was ready to have sex with me. What difference does it make, you know, what kind? And that's where things begin to gray a little bit. And as usual, the courageous stance of sports radio continues. I heard a basketball player today. You know these ex-athletes that they hire to be sportscasters. You know about that, don't you? They get these guys because maybe one guy is glib, and another guy maybe actually went to class in college. You know, a lot of these guys went to college because it says Joe Blow, Louisville, you know, starting guard, right? It doesn't mean the guy actually went to a class. But maybe they find one out of 100 NBA guys that actually attended a class and got a degree, so they say, well, let's put him on here. So I'm listening to one of them today. And this guy says, well, when it was brought up that perhaps Kobe forced himself in another manner on this woman after she said no because he didn't have a condom, and perhaps that does constitute rape, this brain surgeon says, well, I don't know. Yeah, okay, man. Well, you know what? I do. It's called rape, dummy. And why don't you go back and do a basketball camp someplace and just get out of here, will you? You know, sports radio already is pathetic. Hiring these jocks to go in there as a second, third, fourth, fifth banana because the cat, you know, he can't play basketball anymore. And, you know, that gig that he took, being the assistant to his father-in-law at the insurance agency, that's not exactly all that exciting. So why doesn't he do something that he knows, basketball? Well, maybe you do know basketball, baby, but you don't know any more about this situation than anybody else. And let me say it again, just in case anybody has a, you know, isn't clear. The entire sport of basketball, in my opinion, honest to God, is a mockery of black men. Because if you're a black man, that's all you're expected to know how to do in this country, is dribble a ball. That's all you're expected to know how to do. How do I know? I'm white. I'm around white people. I hear them talk. And you guys, when you turn up in a suit owning a company as a salesman or doing anything other than playing hoops, it's a surprise to a lot of people. And this is what you're getting for it. Now, not only is it the stereotype of only being able to play basketball, now the stereotype continues of some big, ugly, stupid black guy forcing himself on a white chick. That's why, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter to me what happens to Kobe. You know, I'm just telling you what's going on. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm giving you it straight, unlike anybody else around here. I don't hear anybody else, especially these guys on sports radio, other than these guys that are sucking, Kobe's kneecaps and sniffing his jockstrap. I don't hear anybody else talking this way at all. So, you know, Kobe can go to prison for the rest of his life. What do I care? Or they can let him off. He can walk scot-free, even if he's guilty of rape. What do I care? I'm just telling you what's happening here. You're being conned, and the rest of you basketball fans out there, oh my God, the brainwashing that has happened to you over the last 50 years with the history of the NBA and professional sports in general is so insidious and so deep, you don't even hear yourselves when you call up and make every excuse in the book for these guys. Every excuse in the book. If Bill Clinton does it, that's a whole other thing, see? But Kobe Bryant, man, that chick, that quote, B-I-T-C-H, end quote, she must be making it up. Gary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show on XM Radio. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Phil.
You're listening on that XM deal, huh?
Oh, yeah.
How do you like that?
It's a good deal.
Yeah?
I got one thing that nobody's really thought of. You know how people that work in hotels aren't allowed to play around with people that work there? You know, people that work there aren't allowed to mess with the guests. Well, maybe she brought him his dinner and played around, then everybody complained about the noise, and once she realized what was going on and thought she was going to lose her job, she goes, oh, well, he raped me when I brought him his dinner.
Well, she's a concierge, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's a concierge doing bringing dinner?
Well, that was the stories that I heard, that she brought him room service. You know, I don't know why she would be bringing him room service that late at night, but, you know.
And there was an argument why. Why was there loud yelling and so on and so forth?
Well, maybe it was her, you know, screaming.
Insisting that he have sex with her? She what?
Yeah, she was screaming for enjoyment, you know.
Yeah, okay, Gary.
Yeah,
I know.
Bill.
A lot of times when I'm making love to a woman, I always call her "you white bitch" as she's right at the peak of her passion. That's something women like. They like it a lot.
I don't know, Phil.
Next time you if you ever make love to women, try that. You bitch! Oh yeah, baby. The guy said it. I don't know, Phil. 1-800-449. You know what? Neither do I. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And there's an early look at the fall season on television. Well, look at this. Here are the big new shows, the ones that, you know, are going to be good, the ones that stink it up. And they got a list here, what's hot and what's not. And among the shows that they say, no, somebody open a window in here, whoopee. Worst attempt to sell a bad show, Whoopi Goldberg talking up her new comedy Whoopi on NBC, which premieres September 23rd. Her attitude, if you don't think it's funny, there's something wrong with you. No, Whoopi, there's something wrong with the show. You ain't funny. Which is what we've been trying to say for years. And Happy Family with John Larroquette, another smeller on NBC. See, and then they got another show, this Coupling, which they thought would replace Friends, and it's about people talking sexy, and Jesus, has there ever been a group of people more clueless than the people who run NBC? After Friends and Frasier goes, then they got to actually replace them with good shows, and they wouldn't know a good show if it walked up and just clocked them, just bloodied their nose. Hi, I'm a good show. Pow! No, you're not. Now they got one called Coupling, which is based on a BBC show, and it supposedly is horrible. Just horrible. And it's a show about sex. It's a show about sexuality. Naked women, large breasts, hunky men, big, waxed chests and backs. And it sucks? Man, that's what I call this, really mishandling the production of a show. I mean, how could people not want to watch something like that? They're going to want to watch this. Good job, man. Hey, Mr. Zucker, looks like you're heading back to New York. Not a minute too soon. All right, let me go over here to Farrell. How you doing, Farrell?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
Very fine, sir. All right, well, thanks for calling.
Oh, sorry.
Here is Andrew. Andrew?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hello?
Could you turn your radio down, please?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just calling because I was sitting there driving on a highway, and I heard some comments you made about the Kobe Bryant incident.
Uh-huh.
And I basically got kind of disturbed about something you said about when the guy called her a white bitch or whatever in the room.
Yeah.
Reason I did is because sometimes when I'm making love to my woman, I call her a bitch and she loves it. I just really think that everybody should quit making assumptions about what happened because no one was in the room with them until the facts come out in trial or court if it comes to that. Basically.
Well, that's right. But you know what? People want to talk about it. They want to speculate.
That's true. I guess that's what...
And I'm sure that after knowing a woman for a whole 20 minutes intimately, he called her white bitch.
Well,
and she probably enjoyed the hell out of it and then ran out of there and accused him of rape. So I'm sure she was having a great time.
Well, we don't know. You don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. You don't know. No, you know. You're right. One thing I do know is this. This is what I do know, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
Professional athletes have reached a plateau, a level of acceptability and there's a level of idolatry that now needs to be cut down to size. These guys are behaving in unacceptable ways. Whether or not he raped this woman, does anybody care that he cheated on his wife? Or is that we shouldn't judge him, I guess, because we're all, what's that Bible bull crap about throw a stone and all that stuff? So we shouldn't judge him, I guess, right?
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. He was married, and he committed adultery, and he cheated on his wife. He shouldn't have put himself in that position, number one. And number two, she shouldn't have put herself in that position, but they both did.
Who?
But
who put herself in that position?
She put herself in the position. You said she came to the room. And
oh, yeah, that chick, yeah. And then he got her across his knee and started paddling her and called her white bitch, and she loved the hell out of it. There you go.
I understand your point. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that, you know,
let's go the other way for a change. Let's do something that people don't do ever.
All right.
Let's do this. Let's say that Kobe Bryant, forget about whether he raped that woman. You're right. We don't know. Let's say he's a piece of crap for cheating on his wife.
Right.
And let's say we have the right to say that he's a piece of crap for cheating on his wife, and that I have a right to take his jersey off of my kid. I'll still watch him play basketball. I like watching him play basketball. He's a phenomenal basketball player. But for some reason, I had a lady call yesterday. She says, well, you know what? You don't have any right to comment on his personal life. The hell I don't. I'll comment on... This guy hung up, yeah. You know, some people don't want to hear the truth, you know, or maybe... Maybe he had to get back to you know, the other XM channel. In any event, let's do something that nobody ever has the guts to do. Let's say that Kobe Bryant's a turd for cheating on his wife. Anybody want to do that? Huh? Oh, I see. No, we don't want to do that because we got a season coming up. I hope the Lakers finish dead last. What do you think of that? But for Phil Jackson's sake, I hope this Kobe Bryant... Because I'm telling you, I'll repeat what we said last week. Phil Jackson has already had one heart attack. You want to have another heart attack? This one fatal? Go ahead, Brian. I hope you're not guilty of that. I hope you're not, because Jackson is going to suddenly go, oh, I can't breathe. And he'll just face first into his Caesar salad in some posh eatery. 1-800-449-8686. Our CD is available at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I don't know if you heard, but Al-Qaeda says they want to try new suicide hijackings. Apparently, that's what the intelligence agencies are telling the Department of Homeland Security. Al-Qaeda is the organization that flew those two planes into the World Trade Center, you know, having absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with Saddam Hussein. Let's make that very clear, because I don't want to get sued. That Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein were completely and totally separate entities and have completely and totally separate sensibilities about the existence of America and would not in any way, shape, or form cooperate with each other. And it would be utter folly and stupidity to think that there was any connection at all between those two groups. And there should be undeniable proof before we go after a very innocent and low-key cat like Saddam Hussein. Oh, I'm sorry. You mean we already did? You mean his two sons are dead? Oh, my God. War crimes trial. George Bush... War crimes trial. You bastard. Well, that's water under the bridge now. I don't know if anybody's interested, though, but the Department of Homeland Security has told airlines and law enforcement agencies that Al-Qaeda may attempt new suicide hijackings sometime during the next few months. Of course, then they may not. But if they didn't say anything and they did, then people would be upset. If they said something and they didn't, then people would say, well, once again, we're just trying to justify the existence of the Department of Homeland Security. There is no real threat, and this is a lot of wasted tax money. Either way, it's fun, isn't it? At least one of these attacks could be executed by the end of the summer 2003. The vague warning came from information gleaned from interviews of at least one Al-Qaeda prisoner, as well as intercepted communications, said one intelligence official. Well, I don't know. I don't know whether to believe them or not. Do you? What do you think? Just another security lapse? I think the intelligence agencies, I don't think they know their ass from a hole in the ground, do you? I think we shouldn't listen to them. I think we ought to just keep on flying and having a ball. However, well, I know one thing. If Al-Qaeda wants to hijack another plane, bring it on. Oh, God, I hope I'm on that plane. Well, you know, Phil, you may die even if the plane doesn't reach its target.
Well, that's okay. That's fine. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind going out that way.
with my hands around one of their these guys' throat, I think that'd be great, as we both tumbled into eternity together. Me just choking the life out of one of these guys. And the next thing you know, there's the white light. I'm going into it. He's going the other way. See you later, Ahmed. Nice killing you.
You bastard.
I tell you what, you better have something more than a box cutter this time. Don't you clowns realize? See, here's the thing. I think they're desperate. If Al-Qaeda even exists any longer, and I think there's a big question mark as to whether they exist in the old form. Now, they may, there's no doubt that there are people around this world that want to see us go down, and I mean down for the count. For all the brutal, horrible crimes that America has committed, they want to see us go down for the count. But this organization, this particular group, Al-Qaeda, I don't know how effective these guys anymore. If they're now falling back on the desperation of hijacking airplanes when they know that that cannot possibly succeed anymore, because every passenger on board every one of those planes they try to take doesn't care whether they have a bomb or a gun or anything else. Even if they got weapons, even if they have machine guns, they're going to have to kill everybody in the plane. If I'm reading this, if I'm reading my fellow citizens correctly, now I could be all wrong, but I'd like to think, and I think I'm pretty sure about this, even if hijackers had submachine guns and grenade launchers on the plane, the passengers, 9/11, whole new world, baby. You know, people make fun of the fact that it's a whole new, oh yeah, sure, it's a whole new world. It's the same old America. Well, I know a lot of people would like to go back, and even I have said that there are many people hanging on to what I call the lamppost of September the 10th, but the fact is, whether you like it or not, whether you're ready for it or not, life has changed, and you either you're going to get with it, or you're slowly going to get swallowed up by history and crapped out. And here's one thing that did change, as we've said right after 9/11, no more planes will ever get hijacked. No more planes will ever get hijacked. Not out of the United States. I don't know about any other country. I don't want to say anything about anybody. But Americans will no longer tolerate the hijacking of an airplane. Passengers on board the plane itself will no longer tolerate a hijacking. And if Al-Qaeda actually believes, if in the smallness of their tiny pea brains, while they sit there and chopstick down rat meat in the middle of a cave somewhere, and Saddam gently strokes his beard and wonders what else he can do, you know, what you really ought to be worried about, Saddam, is a fresh batch of toilet paper, man, where you're living. I mean, I don't know what, you know, first things first, pal. Guy's worried about how he's going to destroy America, and meanwhile he hasn't wiped his rear end in years. Years, with anything other than a palm frond. And he's stroking his beard, and he's wondering, what more can I do? I know. I guess we'll have to just hijack more planes. Are you crazy? Go ahead, baby. Bring it on. Hijack an airplane. I'd love to see that. And I'd like to be on it. I'd like to be on the plane. I realize it sounds insane. But hey, I know I speak for millions of American men when I say, what man who's lived his life in a relative obscurity, just sort of humpty-dumptying his way down the path of life, what guy wouldn't want to go out big time, you know, saving the country from... And I'm not... Seriously. I'm a big, big supporter of the people on Flight 93, and they have a petition that's circulating on the Internet to give all those people the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That is the highest award you can give a civilian in our country. Congressional Medal of Honor, of course, is the highest award you give a military man. And they want to give this to the people on 93. And there is an understandable reticence because they don't know exactly how many of those passengers participated in the taking of the cockpit and the saving of people in the White House and possibly on Capitol Hill. We do know there was a flight attendant who was boiling water and poured the water on these guys. We do know there were two people on tape who were initiating some things. But in any event, there's a plaque to those brave folks out in Pennsylvania. So if Al-Qaeda wants to go that route, go ahead and go that route, man. Boy, you guys are you're dumber than you look. And, man, you look dumb. So that's the latest on that. And, by the way, in the war on terror, the Saudi Arabians, well, they'd like to see some classified documents that we have on them. And there's a few Saudi citizens that need to answer some questions, but the Saudis, they won't let us interview them. In other words, you know, Saudi Arabia, how long you think you guys got? How long do you think you've got before your bedsheet doesn't cover up the fact that you're backstabbers like everybody else over there? The Saudi Arabian government is sweating bullets. We got classified information on those scumbags, and guess what? It ain't all too pretty. It ain't looking too good for those guys. And they were over here in the White House today, and they're asking Bush, can we see it? No, you can't see it. Well, we're your ally. Really? Yeah, you've been really just kicking ass for us, haven't you? And by the way, thank you for chilling out that whole Israel-Palestine thing, too, with those telethons raising money for suicide bombers. You guys, really, you're on the side of civilization. But we knew that right after 9/11. We knew there was a stink coming out of that part of the world that, man, 15 desk fans and 100 open windows wasn't going to cure. That every roll-on deodorant ever invented wasn't going to cure. So those cats, they ought to be sweating buckets. And, and then whatever else is coming out. But that's the one that I noted, because the Al-Qaeda cats, guess where they're from? You got it, Saudi Arabia. Our dear, dear pals over in Saudi Arabia. You know, I got to tell you something, though. I can get really pissed, but we hired a guy around the house. He's French, and I like the cat. See, in other words, what I'm talking about here is a nation and its national politics, and then anybody within that nation who happens to be a slob. But one-on-one, you meet a guy who's okay, he's okay, right? This cat that we hired at our house, he's French. He's a great guy. We don't talk politics, and that way we don't get in any problems. Yeah, you know, he takes a regular bath, because he is French after all, and we're going to be fine. I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, web address, www.philhenryshow.com. Go to the souvenir shop, pick up our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, and by all means, a backstage pass to hear all of our classic audio. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Well, here it is. The hijackers. This is the possibility of Al-Qaeda hijacking more planes. The hijackers will be trying to calm passengers and make them believe they were on a hostage, not a suicide mission. This must be a joke. It's almost as if they don't know that this thing called 9/11 happened. They're going to try to calm me down. Yeah, okay. You guys are not going to fly it into a building. No, I swear to... Are you sure? I swear to God, I know they did. The last guys did. We're not going to... How can I believe you? You just, please believe me. We're not going to do it. Just sit down, and the stewardess will pass out coffee, and everything's fine. Where are you taking me? We're going to land at JFK. Oh, that's the place they said the last one was going to land. You're going to crash it into something. I swear. I swear on my mother. We're not going to do it. If we crash it into something, then, about $1,000 if we crash it. Well, how am I going to collect that? What are you? The hijackers may try to calm passengers down. Nice try. Yeah, they're out of business. No kidding, they're out of business. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Will, hello.
Yeah, I was going to comment on the Kobe Bryant thing.
Yeah.
The thing that seems really strange about the whole deal is I stay in a lot of hotels, big hotels, and I've never, when you call room service, never concierge. You know, the call usually goes to the kitchen, right?
I know, I already mentioned that.
Okay, and the thing is what do you think about maybe some of these hotels? There was some type of expectation to begin with.
I don't understand. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying maybe the thing with some of these hotels, there's some type of expectation when you order room service that you're maybe be delivered more than food.
Okay, yeah, I imagine if you've been to this hotel's website, it's pretty classy. It's big, high-buck joint. I don't know if they're in the business of pimping. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Here is John. Hello.
Hello.
John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are
good.
You?
Very good, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to let you know I love your show. I think it's freaking awesome.
Thanks.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to agree with you as far as Kobe Bryant goes. Being a piece of trash for cheating on his wife. And if he comes on a freaking basketball game, I'm going to turn it off. And any product that he endorses if he's still able to, I'm not going to buy.
Well, see, I'm not talking about that necessarily. I mean, the product endorsement. The guy's a great ball player.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's a great ball player. I'm not going to turn the cat off when I see him on TV, right?
Well, but that's where I stand.
Well, look, I ain't going to watch a guy. Are you telling me, then, in other words, you won't watch any guy play his sport unless he's an archangel?
No. I mean, you know what? Basically, what you don't know don't hurt you, right? Well, Kobe Bryant has hurt himself and hurt himself in a lot in the public eye. You know,
well, I don't think so. I think the public is so conned by the propaganda ministry of sports.
Yeah.
But here's my only point, John, is the guy's great at basketball, and I will watch him play basketball.
The
off the court stuff, when a guy goes out and is involved in a criminal or immoral activity. While I talk about his on-the-court exploits, I'm somehow not allowed to talk about the man off the court, as if that's something away from the playing surface, and it's none of my business. And what I'm saying, the times have changed. It is my business. Not only is it my business, it's also my right to begin to expose these guys as overinflated, overblown, overprotected individuals whose importance to society has just simply been magnified beyond what it should have been. He's a great ball player. What we need to do now, in my opinion, is understand just exactly what does great ball player mean in the overall scheme of things. Does it mean that Kobe Bryant is not the subject of conversation about his private life because he's so great that I can't talk about his private life? I can only talk about his basketball exploits? Does it mean that Kobe Bryant he contributes so much as a basketball player and is such a great hero that I need to give him the benefit of the doubt that I wouldn't give another citizen, that I wouldn't give another human being? Does it mean because he looks so good on the floor playing hoops that, Kobe just wouldn't do that? He's a great man. I mean, he's a decent guy. We've seen him grow up, all this baloney that I was reading in the LA Times. I mean, do I now confuse the man's personal life with his professional life? You know, we do that with our heroes, don't we? I grew up idolizing the writer Jack Kerouac. I wanted to be a writer in the form of a Jack Kerouac. And then I read his letters, and I read his correspondence, and I learned about his daughter Jan, and I found out that he was still a great writer and a marvelous poet, but the guy himself I wouldn't spend 2 minutes with. He was a real piece of garbage as a father, as a husband, and as a human being. He was an alcoholic, which is not his fault, but a drug addict, and on top of everything else, a guy that, you know, like I said, just came up short in those categories of father, husband, and whatever the hell else it was. I was father, husband. What's the other one you can be? You can be a father, you can be a husband, and a-hole. That's it. So let's use another example. Jackson Pollock. We just saw the great film Ed Harris. Great artist. An irresponsible slob in his personal life. Am I not allowed to talk about that? Jackson Pollock murdered a woman, took his own life, driving drunk. Just a cheap drunk driving fast down a highway, and an innocent woman died, and he did too. So what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to say, well, that doesn't matter? It all matters. I will never deny the guy's artistry. Martin Luther King, another example. I will never deny the greatness of this man, greatest public speaker I ever heard, and one of the most important figures of the 20th century in the fight for human rights. But he cheated on his wife like a freaking alley cat. He came up short in his personal life big time. Are we not supposed to talk about that? What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to understand the achievements of the man or the woman, and you're supposed to weigh that against the people that they are so you don't make them bigger than they need to be or lesser than they should be. And to be honest with you, just this is my own personal opinion, Martin Luther King ranks higher than any of them because he fought the great fight for the rights of human beings. Kobe Bryant dribbles a basketball. I couldn't care less. I couldn't give a crap. Jackson Pollock peed all over a canvas with paint. Whatever. Fine. And that other clown that I just mentioned, who? Jack Kerouac wrote a bunch of drivel. If those three guys never existed, while the world of arts might be less today because of it, nobody is going to be starving. Nobody is going to be out cold and freezing without a home. Nobody's going to be denied a right to vote. Nobody's going to be denied a right to a job because of the color of the skin. Martin Luther King's contribution is the kind of contribution that I think makes a difference. That is an important thing. And we are coming to the end of a decade, of a century of giving far too much credit to actors, to athletes, to artists in general. I do a radio show. I do a comedy radio show in some parts of this show, and some people may even consider it to be artistry. But even I'm aware of the insignificance of what I do. I'm a lucky son of... I'm a lucky guy, man. Are you kidding me? I'm making a living doing this? So that's why I try to deliver to you guys fair critique of these things, these kinds of people, and the other people in my own business who will not bring these guys, these people to task. They refuse because they're self-serving little sycophants and they want to have their basketball tickets and everything else. And you know, any of you guys that listen to sports radio, man, anybody out there that works in sports radio, in your failing as a medium has been glaring in the light of this entire situation with Kobe Bryant. Your failing as a medium has just been red hot, man. There isn't a gut out there of anybody that works in sports radio willing to take this story on straight on. So that's why we're doing it. And frankly, we're having fun doing it. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're going to be going into our mailbag momentarily, and we'll read another R.C. Collins email. The question he poses on the website and under R.C.'s diary is, should he go to Iraq as a soldier and bring Hussein's head out of a cave on a stick, or should he go up north to his father's bottling plant and learn the business from, quote, father, end quote? The best email will receive a free, world-famous Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD. Here is Brian. Hello, Brian.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Oh, thanks a lot, Phil. Love
yeah.
the show.
Well,
I just want to make a comment. I heard some people talking about, I don't want to do any of the endorsements or buy any of the products that Kobe Bryant endorses.
Uh-huh.
And I really think people got to draw the line where committing adultery, the United States of America already really gave its answer whether they thought that was morally correct or not. When a U.S. sitting president committed adultery, and his ratings stayed very, very high through that entire procedure. I mean, if he committed rape, that's another thing. He should be hung, and that would be it. But to commit adultery in the United States of America, especially in the position that he's in where women throw themselves at him, I mean, that doesn't make it right, nor did it make it right for the president. And we didn't,
You know what? I've just been listening to you. I don't know where you stand on it.
Well,
I've been listening
to you
for the last 30 seconds. I don't know what you... I hear your words, but I don't know what you mean.
I think all in all, whether he committed adultery or not, obviously that's not right.
He did.
And I think
he admits that he did.
Yes, obviously he did it. And morally you have to answer to your own self whether or not, that's right or wrong. But, the charge of rape, if he committed rape, well then yes, every endorsement ought to drop him like a hot potato and he ought to hang.
Why? Well, wait. I got a business. I got a business. Kobe Bryant endorses sneakers. And I find out that he cheated on his wife. You telling me that I don't have a right to drop him?
No, you do have a right. Each person who if it's Nike or whatever company...
What is your stand on him? Let's just start with Kobe Bryant cheating on his wife. What do you think about that?
I think right now, if I was one of his companies, I would not drop him.
Okay, what do you, Bryant, think about that?
I think it's horrendous. But
cheating on your wife?
Absolutely.
All right, okay. So you were talking about Bill Clinton and all that stuff. So it's a bad thing. But if you had a company, you wouldn't drop him. How come?
I don't think I would, because I think I'd see what the fallout would be from it. You know, there's certain things that you know, business has to continue to flow. If it's going to hurt my business because he did it, I think I would drop him in a heartbeat. But if it's not going to hurt the business, just like it didn't hurt the President of the United States.
Well, what if the rape charge doesn't hurt the business?
Say that again? I didn't.
What if the rape charge doesn't hurt the business?
Oh, forget about it. That really, there's a huge difference between something that's absolutely illegal and I mean, that's horrendous. I'd drop him. If I felt that was...
Because it was illegal.
If I felt he was guilty...
What about a DUI?
A DUI?
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, I'd have to look, is it a continuous pattern that he's doing? Is he continuing doing these types of things? And then I'd have to look.
Well, I mean... I don't know what you. I don't know where you stand on this, Brian. I say that with the greatest of respect. I don't know where you stand. You've called up and you've said to me that you don't like him cheating on his wife, but it wouldn't necessarily mean you drop him as an endorser. You don't like rape, and you would drop him as an endorser because it's illegal, not necessarily, I guess, because it's rape.
Yes.
And well, then you would, and a DUI, even though that is illegal, that's not bad enough. So you do have kind of this moral thing, man, and you know, that's cool. But just take it from an old married guy here, okay?
Sure.
I mean, I know I'm a chump. I know I'm a schmuck. I know I'm an idiot. I know that a guy that's faithful to his wife is a jerk and isn't valued in this society. I understand that. A guy that cheats on his wife, a guy that goes off and screws some broad from a hotel, some concierge. Yeah, that's okay, because he's a basketball player. He gets to do that, you know. But you want to know something? I'm just this one guy here with a radio show, this guy Phil Henry. I'm going to say that it's wrong. I'm going to say that even though I am just a chump like a lot of guys who's faithful to his wife, I think it's wrong. I think it's boorish behavior. I'm going to talk about it. And Kobe doesn't get a pass. And his basketball contribution to this world doesn't amount to a hill of crap compared to his commitment to his wife and his children. Now, if he was doing something really important with his life, really important, then I might consider it. I might consider giving the guy a break. But he's not doing anything important. He plays basketball. For that, he gets paid a lot of money. He may or may not entertain me or make me feel good on any given night. I don't know. But other than that, his contribution to this world and the world we live in is spit. It's about like mine. But because he plays basketball, well... You know, the guy gets to screw around on his wife. He gets to screw around on his children. The broad is this, the broad is that. I know people don't like to hear it, but it's on this show at least. And I know it'll probably just completely ruin my ratings. Because all of my men that listen to me, they're big hoop fans, right? Hey, there's no bigger sports fan in the world than me. But you know what? I've been a sports fan for so long. And I've devoted so much energy and time to being a sports fan that I've come full circle on this deal, man. Now I really see, at least in my way, how we've been conned. And I'm not going to stop talking about it. I ain't going to make life easy on him any more than I want to make life easy on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Because they got a Lombardi trophy sitting there, a piece of crap named Michael Pittman, an unmitigated imbecile named Warren Sapp, and another complete and utter moron by the name of Simeon Rice. These guys play for that football team. But, hey, they can't be bothered, you know, because Coach Gruden's getting them ready for the big game in Japan. Because you guys, the sports fans, you're idiots. And that's what they think. You'll forget all about it. When the season starts, you'll forget all about it. And it's really insignificant. It doesn't mean anything. We're not going to return your call. We don't have to have an interview with you. Who are you? We're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who are you? You're a sports host. You're a sports fan. You're just a guy that bought tickets. Who are you? You're nothing. You're nobody. You're garbage. We want you to build us a stadium. We want you to have our ball players on and interview them and don't get into their personal life and be respectful. Treat them like men, even though they don't act like men, even though that manhood is something that is just a remote dream in the minds of a lot of those guys. I don't care how big, fat, and stupid they look. Treat them like men. And when you have coach on, you only ask them this and you only ask them that. And remember, they're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They won a Super Bowl. And, you know, never mind that across the pond in other parts of the world, they wouldn't know a Super Bowl from a gold-plated toilet. They think a Super Bowl is something that you take a super dump in. That's what a Super Bowl is over there. And as if they're royalty. Now, if they were soldiers, doctors, scientists, if these were people that were saving lives, if they were a vital industry that they were involved in. You know what I mean by vital industries? Those are the industries that are protected by the, for instance, legislation that protects the American people, laws that have been passed to prevent strikes in vital industries, the transportation of coal, military protection, police protection. You understand? Those are the guys that deserve the credit, the thanks, and if you want to give a guy a pass morally, those guys. Not some joker that plays football, basketball, baseball, or anything else. I had a guy say to me, what do you mean about blacks being mocked when they play sports? I think any African-American kid that gets into sports now, you're just making a joke out of yourself. You're making a joke out of yourself, and you're playing right into a stereotype. That's all I mean. You can do whatever the hell you want with your life. I could care less. But I'm telling you, if you're black and you're young and you get into sports with the thought of becoming a professional, you are a joke because you're playing into the big stereotype. Here we go again, man. There go all the blacks into sports because they got the big ass and they run fast. Why don't you try something else? I know. How about trying, well, let's say being a doctor. How about trying being a scientist. How about being a mathematician, a professor, a teacher? All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're going to get into our mailbag when we come back. We got our R.C. Collins. We got to go down, no, memory lane. We're not doing memory lane, right? Nah, memory lane sucks. Forget it. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, time for our mailbag, and here we go. Hey, Phil, is it just me, or have you been extra angry lately? Chuck S. Phil, you are a jealous, racist, angry white man that thinks that his views on issues are always right. You know nothing about being a black person, so therefore there are certain things you can't say. And I don't know who sent it because it ain't signed. Phil, why do you find it disgusting to have a child out of wedlock? My life partner and I are not going to be told by society that we have to get married. F the tax benefits. F what people think of us. We are truly in love and have no intention of ever leaving each other. A license from the state isn't going to make us love our son any more than we already do. I know when you see life partner, you probably assume gay lesbian. Actually, no. We are a normal male-female partnership that refuses to be told what to do by religion or society. If we disgust you, you can kiss my ass. Josh in Dallas. We're not even on in Dallas. Now I'm scared. And this music makes me even more... See, this is the part where I get scared. Phil, I am very confused about your take on Gray Davis and the overall condition of arguably the greatest state in the Union. California did not get into the position it is in on accident. The far-left wing of the Democratic Party has controlled the state for years, and you know it. I understand that you are a self-proclaimed liberal, but come on, the same politicians that you defend are precisely the people who have brought the state to the brink of collapse. Jason in Florida. So that's our mailbag. We're also going to get into our R.C. Collins email, which is coming up very shortly. Let's see if what our big email is of today. And we ought to call a halt to the proceedings. I've got it right here, Janice. We got to call. When are we going to call a halt to this stupid R.C. Collins email contest? Like the end of the week, and then that's it. And then we're giving away the CD on Friday. 1-800-449-8686. Bridget, hi.
Hello?
Hi, Bridget. It's Phil Hendry.
Hi there. Just want to say, first of all, I am one of your avid female fans, but I had a comment on the whole Kobe Bryant thing, and the thing that I find the worst part of the whole thing and is the constant propagation of negative stereotypes. No race, no creed, no religion should do stuff that it's just a negative stereotype. The old, you know, single family thing going around, sleeping around, the black man going out and doing all this stuff, you know. The whole thing of being a spokesperson for a brand is that you're supposed to represent excellence. And to go out and just do the ordinary, same old crap you know, it's, I would never buy anything that he represents ever again.
Well, that's your choice. I mean, I'm not going to go, I think people ought to do whatever they want to do. I'm a big believer in that. I personally, me, I never buy something because an athlete digs it anyway, other than I did buy Coors for a while when Mark Harmon was pushing it, because I thought, well, frankly, I thought he was very handsome. but, you know, Kobe, I'll watch the guy play ball because I love watching him play ball, see?
And he's a great basketball player. Yeah. I used to live in L.A., I love the team. But you know what? I like Allen Iverson. As far as I'm concerned, what's the difference?
I watch him play ball, too. It's when Iverson gets into his stuff off the court, suddenly we're all supposed to shut up about it. I'm going to say something, and I say that it is endemic, and I say that it has to stop, and I say that what they do, their contribution in society does not warrant us saying, well, you know, he came from tough Scrabble, hard Scrabble roots. No. If Allen Iverson and Kobe Bryant did something really important, then maybe I'd give them a little bit of a pass on their obscene behavior off the court, but they don't do jack other than play basketball.
It's true. I agree. You know, bottom line is, there are all kinds of people out there doing excellent things, but it's never an excuse for going out and, you know, basically being...
No, you're right. But, you know, let's say Jonas Salk cheated on his wife. I'd say, well, okay. I mean, all he did was invent the polio vaccine. So maybe that cat, I'd, you know, sort of. But anyway, thanks very much, Bridget, for your call. It was very nice you calling. Milton, hi. Milton?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got a little beef here with this Kobe Bryant thing, because you guys make it seem that, you know, this guy had committed some crime. He's not even convicted yet. If he raped the woman, it's a problem. But she accused him.
Right, but forget
that. And
that
happened every day.
What about him cheating on his old lady?
That's wrong also, but the whole society is based upon that. 60% of American husbands cheat on their wives.
Absolutely.
And a bunch of presidents also.
Can I say something about it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm doing.
You know, but to make this guy seem as if he's the worst guy on earth,
well, no.
When it's like a cultural thing,
on
television.
No, he's not the worst guy on earth, but he's a guy that has a great profession dribbling a basketball. And for that, I'm supposed to sort of give him a pass and overlook the stuff that he does off the floor.
Well, did you give Kennedy's a pass?
What's that, sir?
Did you give Kennedy a pass when he was banging around all these other ladies?
Not at all, but I will tell you this much. I'll say this, and you may disagree. What Kennedy, what Clinton, and Martin Luther King did for the world far surpasses anything that Kobe Bryant is doing for the world.
Right, so Kobe Bryant means nothing. So they should just
I don't treat him like a lot of sports fans want to treat him. In other words, just because he's a basketball player, then he's some dumb ape who's allowed to go out and screw around. No, I hold him to a standard that I hold any other man to equally. And that is, you go out and you do that, I'm going to make some comments about that. And
right.
If the world is rewarding you with this huge living for being a basketball player, I'm going to make even double the comments about that. If you were doing something that actually mattered, then maybe I'd be a little forgiving, but you don't. So the guy cheated on a wife, a beautiful young wife. He's got a child at home, for God's sake. What kind of a moron is this? And if you think I'm going to let my kid...
Well, you should ask the same question of 60% of the American meal.
I don't... It doesn't make it right, pal. You know what? If you show me a guy that cheats on his old lady, and I'll give him crap, too. How about that, all right? And by the way, my kid ain't going to be putting Kobe Bryant's jersey on anytime soon, either. He plays great hoops, but my kid ain't wearing that to school like he's some kind of a role model, because he's just another slob cheating on his wife, making $40 million a year.
And they should get these groupies out of their rooms, too.
Okay, fine, dude. Let me ask you something, Milton. You're like a lot of sports fans. What do you want to keep giving Kobe an excuse for? Why don't you just accept it?
No, I don't want to give him an excuse, but I'm saying he's getting raked over the coal for something that almost everybody in America does.
Hey, almost everybody in America ain't got $85 billion in endorsements and kids kissing your ass and thinking you're the greatest thing in the world.
The problem with these guys is that when they go to play basketball, nobody said they were like monks, you know? They guys come from...
Oh, yeah, they do. The sports writers say that they're great human beings. The sports teams promote them as if they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. The fans talk about them as if they're just wonderful role models. I mean, I heard Michael Jordan talked about as a role model, and we found out he was a slob, too. This is ridiculous. The problem is, like everything else, man, adults, parents, people that got kids, they haven't got brain one to tell their kid, hey, find somebody that's worthy of your admiration. And I said it on another show, I think it bears repeating. Ultimately, your role models are your business. You don't have to broadcast them to everybody. I got role models, and I ain't going to be talking about them on this show. Why? They're mine. And they ain't dribbling a basketball, and they don't throw a football, and they don't hit a baseball. And man, far from it. All right, I'll tell you one of my role models. Daffy Duck. He's very unbridled. He's just very free. I like him. And I know he cheated on his wife. And he had all those little ducklings, but you know.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.